welcome to another episode of Chatty Broads with Becca and Jess.
Let's go.
I don't know why. Like, I feel like every Tuesday night before I come in, I get the worst sleep. And then the last few weeks I've been rolling in like, good morning, everyone.
Do you feel like, I was going to say, sometimes when I get terrible sleep,
yeah,
I feel more creative, even though I feel exhausted.
I couldn't relate to that last.
Okay. Like, sometimes my brain, if I'm like going off of like 3 hours, I'm like, I want to pass, but also I'm kind of firing off.
I think the problem that, do you think that's like a mania thing?
Potentially. I've also been in a bit of a manic episode for the past month.
Talk to my husband about it.
Evan's just like, oh, Lord.
I'm like, the way you're describing this, I'm like, sometimes I get 3 or 4 hours of sleep, but I like have more energy and like more ideas. I have like a lot to, you know, I'm like that.
Poor Evan's coming home from a long day of work and he's just like, how are you? I'm like, oh, I'm tired. To cut to 2 seconds, I'm pacing in circles and be like, this is the problem with the finale with this. This is why we need to talk about this. And he's just like, my God, can you please just chill for a second? But yeah, that's been a little bit how it's been.
Do you enjoy it?
I do when it's positive.
Yeah.
I'll take that any day over the depressive states, 1,000%.
Yeah.
What scares me most of the time is typically when I'm having, like when I'm in a mild mania, I know the depressive state is coming. So it looms a bit because that typically hits right afterwards.
Do you mind if we go into this for a second talking about this?
No, of course not.
I
appreciate you
asking. We've talked in the past, like, I thought you said it changed a lot after you gave birth. So I guess kind of clarify.
It did.
Could you clarify what your bipolar was like before and after giving birth and kind of like what it looks like now? Like, is this new or is this kind of something that happens like once a year or like a couple every so often?
Yeah. So Broads, if you don't know, bipolar over here, it was really bad. I'll say like 2012 to 2000, like right when I got pregnant with Ember, up to 2015. And then I was on like heavy medication just to function. And that was when I was having like manic and depressive states that were not safe.
Yeah.
And
destructive.
Yeah. Yes. And yeah, if you talk to someone who's bipolar, and it sounds so weird to say, but like, yes, mania feels good when you're in like a positive manic place. But it was very destructive and I was not healthy or safe. And so I needed to take medication. The medication helped me so much. I was so grateful for it. Obviously you have to go through a fun journey with medication. Sometimes my first, it was not good.
Yeah.
And then you find like, you know, exactly what you need.
Yeah.
But then when I got pregnant with Ember, I had to go off of what I was taking and I was so scared, but whatever happened hormonally for me, it shifted a lot of that and I felt really good and really balanced for myself. And then after I was done breastfeeding Ember, I still felt very similar. And so I didn't go back on medication. And now I'm in a space where in the past couple of years, it's creeping back for sure. So I'll definitely have, I'll have times where I feel balanced, but often I feel like I'm on a mild depressive or a mild manic state.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah.
And I will say this, over the past year, I have considered going back on some form of medication again. But I'm not sure yet. And I always get so weird talking about medication and also then mental illness, because it's so like, I'm not a doctor. Don't follow. You need to talk to a professional. It's so important for your health and for your safety and all that. But for me personally, I'm like, I've been through this journey and I know my body well enough to know like when I'm, you know, when it's manageable and when it's not. But yeah, the past the past year, I've been like, okay, the manic states, I feel they're not destructive mm-hmm. and I feel like good in them. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I know the depressive is going to follow, which is not great. And also in the good mania, it does bring on a lot of anxiety mm-hmm. where then I'm spiraling about this, this, and that. And like the heart rate mm-hmm. is like through the roof mm-hmm. to the point where like when I went and got a physical the other day, I was manic and they did an EKG on me and they were because my heart rate is so fast. And they're like, you need to go to a cardiologist to make sure that like, you know, you're good to go. Yeah. Because I'm like,
I feel great.
I told them I was like, I am in yeah. like a manic state yeah. right now. So they're like, okay, your heartbeat is through the roof right yeah. now. You know, they're like, everything else looks healthy and fine, but your heart is racing. Like, are you good? I'm like, yeah, it's just, it's the mania yeah. likely. So I don't know. We'll see. I've been talking to like doctors again and kind of just feeling out whether I'm going to dive back into meds.
Do you find yourself like, it does it, are you like sort of always in between the two, or then do you have like, you know, months long stretches where things feel kind of normal-ish?
I was having month long stretches.
Yeah.
And then this past year, it's been kind of ping pongy. And that's where I'm a little bit like, okay, maybe it's time to get a little balanced again. But beforehand, I was in a place where it'd be like, oh, I'm going like a month and a half and I'm feeling like, you know, relatively balanced.
Yeah.
And balanced in the sense that, like, you know, anxiety and depression and feelings like that were coming on from like outside factors, not from nothing.
Yeah.
Do you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, totally.
In fact, we got to take a pause for a second, but I wanted to tell you, I'm like, and we'll talk about your birthday.
Yeah.
But I was literally like on your birthday, during your birthday, making a concentrated effort to try to be chill and be low key because I'm like, I know the mania and I'm like, I don't want to just tornado through your birthday
yeah.
and just be like, la, 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 la. I'm like, just kick back.
I didn't really have any idea either that.
I mean, yeah, I didn't want to be like, just so you know, I'm yeah. fully manic right now. And my mind is bouncing and I'm trying to be like, let other people speak and just sit there.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
You're like, we're chilling in the hot tub and my brain's just like, just like,
wow, you're in good control of it then.
Thank you. I was really like, I was like, I felt good. I felt in my flow.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anywho, do you want to pause for a second?
Yeah, let's do it.
Broads, have you ever realized that you can pretty much be as unhinged on the internet as your heart desires? Within reason, of course, okay? Obviously, we figured this out, which is how Chatty Broads was born. But literally, if you wanted to make a website dedicated to horror stories of passengers that take their shoes off on airplanes or pictures of cats wearing costumes, the internet is literally your oyster.
Okay, please don't make an entire website dedicated to people on planes without shoes.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
I mean, maybe.
I would be featured on it, front page. But if that is your prerogative, you need some help from today's sponsor, Squarespace. On Squarespace's all-in-one platform, you can build a website, claim a domain, sell online, and so much more.
Squarespace is designed so anyone can use it. In fact, a lot of your favorite sites are probably already running off of Squarespace. Whatever you choose to do on the internet, you can do it easily with the help of Squarespace.
Check out squarespace.com/chatty for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the order code chatty to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
By the way, I fully then like took over. You said you're tired. Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Was it the children?
I think I was like, there's a few weeks where I was really disciplined about going to bed, like getting in bed by 9:30. Because the kids usually wake up like right at 6, and I am such a I'm an 8-hour a night bitch. And I've realized that people are really different in the amount of sleep they need.
Yeah, it
like
is
people
so interesting.
Really are. I kind of thought like, oh yeah, sure, you can function off of like 6 hours of sleep, but everyone needs it, which I think it is good for everyone to get a lot of sleep.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, but people function very differently on sleep deprivation.
I agree.
Speaking of,
it's like,
yeah, or like just some people, it's just like. in their, or maybe it's just been in their rhythm for so long to get like 6 hours of sleep. Mm-hmm. But if I get 6 hours of sleep, that is bad. And then if I get like, that's pretty bad. And then if I get less than 6 hours of sleep, it's like all holds barred. Mm. So I'm like min 8 hours. So okay. When I don't get my min 8 hours, I am just, I feel like I'm less in just like control of myself, of like what I say. I just had this thought as we were reading the ads, and I mentioned this last time too, when I was tired, like I've noticed like when I get tired, I like will stop laughing and like engaging like emotionally, where I'm just kind of like,
well, your body's like trying to save itself.
And I think it's just, like, it comes off as like major bitch mode too. Cause I'm just like,
but you're like, I'm sleepy.
Yeah. But it seriously does affect my mood and my emotions. For example, the other night, Saturday night, we're going to get into that because we're going to talk about our little girls trip weekend yes. away, because I spent Saturday night up until 2:45 throwing up, alcohol unrelated. We're going to get to that. But as a result, dude, also something that's been happening is when I wake up in the morning, like whether I'm home or anywhere else at like 6 a.m., like when the kids first wake up, like in the past, I would kind of like doze off, you know, or whatever, and still just be in a relaxed state. I will wake up and my brain like hits the ground running. I like wake up and I'm like, and I'll like feel like a surge of like anxious energy through my body. And it's not like anxious thoughts per se.
Okay.
It's just like I'll wake up and I'm like, and I'll like feel my body like stiffen, you know, like I'll be all tense, like, hello, like good morning. Board, yeah. And then when my body, you know, is like that, then I can't go back to sleep. And then I'm just like, like just so on, and I can't fall back to sleep. So that happened on Sunday morning. I woke up like at 7 and I couldn't go back to sleep.
Even though you had been up late.
Even though I had been up until 3, like I was like falling asleep like on the toilet. So I got like 4 hours of sleep. And then like later that night, Gray and I got in an argument, and I was so emotionally unhinged that, and this is something that I never do, broads, please don't be concerned. This was like, this is an example of how crazy I am if I get less than 6 hours of sleep. During the argument, I got so frustrated that I started beating my hands on the ground. I was like, stop talking. Like, it was not that big of a deal.
But
like,
you were just so.
Stop talking. And I was like, I was like a child. Like and I was just like, stop it. Beating my hands on the ground. And if you're watching on the YouTube, I have like full bruises on my hands.
Oh my God.
And I'm really okay. It really was not even that big of like an argument or an ordeal. But I was so emotionally unhinged yes. from being exhausted that I was just like, out of control yeah. 4-year-old.
Yeah, your body was literally like going into like full defense protection mode.
Well, and when I was on The Bachelor and I was in the first couple weeks of sleep deprivation, I was sobbing all the time. Like, I remember reading a book with someone and I read like the first line and I was like, it just speaks because I'm just like so proud of myself. It's not even necessarily negative. And I was just like, I'm so proud of myself. And I was just weeping, sobbing, because I had gotten like 3 hours of sleep the night before.
I can definitely relate to the emotional piece.
Yeah,
that if I'm like, if I don't get sleep, I am a weeping willow, like yeah. nonstop. Like yeah. anything will get me.
Yeah,
on one.
But I'm literally like a kid who skipped their nap, where I'm just like, no, like no. Just like, so, like
someone swaddle me and
put me down for my nap.
What would you give to have just like someone just wrap you up like a little baby and just rock you to sleep?
Put me in one of those snooze like I did with the kids, or you just
vibrates. They need adult snoozes for people who are having like emotional meltdowns.
And then I make a sound and I'm like, great, and then it starts shaking me faster.
Like, you go into like a full grown adult's bedroom and they have like their bed, and then they have like a giant snooze. You're like, what is this? Where you're like, well, sometimes if I don't get enough sleep,
mommy needs to go into her cocoon,
swaddled up, and they gotta turn the vibrate on high.
Yeah, I guess what we're describing is basically a straitjacket. So when I'm overtired, I like, just
wrap you
just
up.
Stop. Maybe
honestly,
save me from myself.
A weighted blanket for real.
Yeah, true.
Weighted blanket.
Longest time, but then I was just like, I don't. need this.
They make me hot, but they do help a lot when I'm feeling super anxious or like too buzzy to fall asleep. When I used to have like mania, Evan would put the weighted blanket on me and I'd be like, and like he put it on me and I just,
he's like, don't move, bitch. Yeah. My cat does lay on my chest and I like that.
Yes, the feeling of the warmth of a heartbeat too.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, but this, I feel fine otherwise. Everything's
okay.
Good.
Okay.
Everything's good. Okay. I'm just tired.
Yeah, I mean, you were vomiting and not getting sleep on your birthday.
We also stayed up the first night. Okay, so here's what we did. It's not even a birthday trip because...
I know you kept saying that, but like for your birthday.
But
though.
It was basically an excuse to go on a girls' weekend with the excuse of it being, because here's what, I will be honest, here's what happens. If you try to get a group of 10 people together and you're like, let's do a girls' weekend, everyone's like, yeah, let's do it
not
sometime.
Not me, honey.
Well, I know you won't. But everyone else is kind of like, yeah,
I
like
know.
People who have to get like other people to watch the kids. It's like, yeah, you know, maybe we, I don't know. But if you say like, it's my birthday.
Obligations.
Then people feel an obligation. Mm-hmm, so then they do make the commitment and show up.
Yes.
So I actually think, yeah, it did feel like because I don't think we would have done it otherwise. No one actually takes the time to organize it. No one fully commits and says yes. Although I will say that 4 out of 10 people bailed on Wednesday when the trip was on Friday. All pretty good excuses, but still, I was like, all right, from 10 to 6. And then this is a tangent, but then I realized you don't book the Airbnb until everyone has put in their share, because people will rally and they will find ways around their issues if they've put down the cash for
the trip
already.
That's very true. It's very true. Yeah.
So anyway, but it was fun. It was six of us and it was actually a really good size.
Yeah. I feel like it was a perfect number.
Yeah. So we went to Valle de Guadalupe in Baja, which is, they call the Napa of Mexico, apparently.
Stunning.
It was amazing.
Stunning. You planned a fantastic trip, by the way.
Thanks.
It was, when we rolled in,
yeah,
I was just like, I don't know where we are with these hills, olive trees, lavender. Gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Yeah. It was... beautiful, and then also like not that far from where we are, and then also much less expensive than going to somewhere like Napa because everything's like in Mexico currency.
I mean the dinners were phenomenal. The food was incredible.
Amazing.
It was like it felt like high end gourmet chef.
We didn't have a bad meal.
No, it was all like fine dining.
Even the food truck was like.
The food truck was like maybe the best.
I agree.
It was so good. And that winery that we went to was so stunning with the food truck. It was like...
Venicava.
Oh yeah. My God. Like buried into the rock. The wine was fantastic.
It was pretty sweet.
Did you feel like you were able to fully relax in the mode of being like, I'm bringing... Because I was thinking about this after the trip. Like, I got to give you props. Because you brought together friends of your current friends and people who didn't know each other. And you're like the one person that everybody knows.
Yeah.
And that it takes guts.
I've done it. I used to be so anxious about it. And then I've done it like a couple times now. I'm not going to lie. I am kind of selective. Like there are some times where I'm like, I don't think I'm going to invite this person or that person.
Sure.
Just maybe the group dynamic like isn't right.
Yeah, I think that's an appropriate boundary to put up, you know, where you're like, I know I have a certain friend from the past that requires all of my attention.
Right.
And if I'm not giving this person all of my attention, we're going to have some drama.
Oh, right. Yeah. And I've done it a couple times and then it always works out well. And so I didn't feel like I was actually that stressed. I mean, I guess at times I was just kind of like, felt bad because like I didn't see you very much. There's another friend that like, didn't interact with very much. But then I was also like, I trust my other friends and I know that everyone that they're going to be surrounded by is like a kind, welcoming person. You know?
You have some very wonderful friends.
Yeah, I love my friends.
It speaks highly of you, your group of friends.
Because
everyone is wonderful.
Yeah, and easy to get along with and pretty low maintenance.
Everyone's so low maintenance.
Yeah. Like some people have their, you know, diet things and this and that.
Sure, but it's like the energy. It's the overall energy.
Like I knew no one was going to be pissed at me if I like didn't spend time with them. Like no one's going to take it personally,
no.
I guess.
No.
And I felt that with like everyone who like all kind of like 10 people who I invited, like no one's going to be. And also I can't have friends like that. Like I can't have friends that are going to get butthurt because I mean, look at me. You know, it's not going to work out well if you're going to get easily butthurt.
But also, I feel like this is a true nugget of growing up wisdom is really knowing, like finding the friends in your life that, you know, it can't always just be about you.
Right.
But like when there is a friend that there's always a problem.
Yeah.
There's always a dynamic. Oh, yeah. It's not that you can't be friends with that person, but maybe it might be a little bit like, hey, maybe there's a boundary in this relationship.
Yeah. I have a couple friends now where we only see each other like twice a year and it's good that way. And we could still like be involved and still like text and like interact on social media. And
do you feel like the COVID changed that for you? Like it limited?
Ooh, it did. In a great way. I know.
It was kind of like the cleansing of friendships, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't actually feel like I lost any friendships, but I felt like the dynamics shifted in certain friendships in a way that probably needed to shift.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I feel like I've been recently talking to some friends about that, and people I know who used to have tons of friends over COVID really just honed in on a couple people.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, you said it's not like, oh, I don't care about all these other people anymore. But then you realize like, no, these are maybe the solid people in my life. We were in like an emergency state. We're there for each other. We get each other.
Yeah.
We have the same dynamics that just mold well together. Yeah. And it kind of flushed out maybe some of you're valuing your time.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to.
And also, you know, what was kind of interesting, like, because I had done like a birthday get together last year too, like some, like you had already met certain people and like kind of knew them.
It was actually really cool. I was excited to see everybody again.
Yeah.
Cause it was like, oh, I had like 24 hours with you and you were really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm like comfortable and you kind of go in and be like, oh, you already have.
It's exciting
to hop into.
And it's fun. Like one of my friends I've had since I was like three. And then another friend is like an old high school friend. And like they had already met and we used to like, you know, sort of hang out when we were in high school. And so it's fun that like they see each other mm-hmm. every year or so. And it's like, I don't know. So all that's really fun. And so I would say I was able to relax,
okay,
actually.
Good.
And like really. Yeah, I had a great time.
You seemed relaxed. I was wondering.
Yeah,
because
it was awesome.
Yeah, because I was just thinking about it the whole time. I'm like, wow, you got guts, and I admire them because it was so nice, and everyone was so cool and fun. And like, I was thinking of like if I were to do this and bring in old friends new friends,
I would. Please do it for your birthday. Do it for your birthday this year.
It's gonna be a fucking shit show.
Because I also haven't like I've met like a couple of them, but like.
It's going to be a shit show because there's some strong personalities in the past. And that's the thing that's weird. So when you were putting this together, I'm like, I've changed a lot.
Yeah.
Over the past, like I'd say, especially 5 years, a lot of it having to do with like my own mental health.
Totally.
And so I have my friends from the past who I love dearly, but I was definitely a different person.
Yeah.
With them.
Yeah.
So then bringing the two together, I'm like, oh, I had a lot of friends who I was very doormat energy.
Okay. I want to talk more about this. Should we take a break real quick?
Yes,
and then I want to hear more about this.
And then I also want to hear about, we want to talk about the vomit. Let's be honest.
Everyone wants to hear about it, right?
Everyone wants to hear about the vomit. Before we talk about that, Bronze, I firmly believe that things that are required part of life should be 100% convenient. Okay. There are so many areas where this just isn't a reality yet. The DMV still sucks. Going to the doctor is getting better, but it's still not a great experience sometimes. But one mandatory area of life that absolutely can be 100% convenient is dinner time. Green Chef is the meal kit that makes eating well super easy.
Unlike some other meal services, Green Chef is focused on healthy and delicious food and even has plans to accommodate all kinds of dietary restrictions like keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, and so many others. But also get this, Green Chef isn't just good for you. It's the only meal kit that is really good for the planet. Green Chef offsets 100% of their plastic packaging in every box and 100% of the carbon footprint and emissions. Is so cool. And because of the ingredients are pre-portioned, your food waste is actually reduced by at least 25% compared to grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm. Head to greenchef.com to pick out your meals for the week from their nutritious and flavorful menu options like Peruvian beef bowls, smoky shrimp with cojita, or creamy mustard herb chicken. I can tell you I've had all three and they're all so good. After you make your selections, Green Chef will send you their pre-portioned ingredients and easy to follow recipes. All you have to do is spend a few minutes putting everything together, sit back and enjoy your restaurant quality healthy meal.
Go to greenchef.com/chatty130 and use code chatty130 to get $130 off plus free shipping. That's greenchef.com/chatty130 and use code chatty130 to get $130 off plus free shipping.
Brods, when it comes to my wellness routine, I prefer to keep the products I use as simple as possible. It's just an effort that I've been trying to make. And the one product I struggled forever to keep a clean alternative to was my deodorant. I think I've tried about every single natural deodorant on the market, and I can say with some authority that some are better than others. But one that I love is Native.
Unlike most conventional deodorants that have dozens of ingredients that anyone who isn't a scientist would struggle to recognize, Native's natural deodorant, on the other hand, is made using the best natural ingredients, and everyone is familiar with these ingredients like coconut oil and shea butter. And of course, Native is aluminum-free, it's vegan, it's cruelty-free, it's made with only naturally derived ingredients, and it still keeps you smelling clean and fresh all day long.
I'm completely obsessed with Native's deodorant because, like I said, it's the only natural deodorant that actually worked for me and that stayed. But Native doesn't just stop with deodorant. They want to overhaul your entire beauty routine with natural, clean, personal care products, from body wash — I love their body wash — to shampoo and conditioner, even toothpaste. Native's products have over 15,000 five-star reviews, and they deserve every single one of them. You'll see for yourself after you give Native a try. And their newest collaboration with Baked by Melissa, oh my God, it smells so good. The cupcake, don't even get me started.
Oof. Smell and feel fresh all day long with Native. Get 20% off your first order by going to nativedeo.com/chatty or use promo code chatty at checkout. That's nativedeo.com/chatty or use promo code chatty at checkout for 20% off your first order. Okay, so back to what we were just talking about. You were saying that there are friends that are like, are a little much, and you're just kind of like a doormat. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How so?
I think I just really used to be such a people pleaser out of fear that people wouldn't like me, that I would just take anything.
And you would just hold on to friends that were like, I probably shouldn't be friends with them.
Yeah.
Because they're mean.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be friends with them anyway.
And not like mean people by any means, but just like they don't treat me very nicely. Mm. And they just kind of do what they're going to do. And I'm like, all right, well, we'll figure it out. And I just can imagine a group of like my current friends with some of those friends where I'm like, I don't even know what this would look like.
So how does your friendships with them look like now?
I mean, it's, are they're still people, mean to you? You know, what's funny is that like not one-on-one, but it's hard for me not to go to like go back to my past Jess and just kind of get into this like sub position, mm-hmm, and not take ownership of like my feelings or, you know, my thoughts on whatever. And I'll just kind of get into that sub position again. And the last time that there was like a group of us together, I found myself doing that where I was like, oh, one-on-one, we're good. But you get in the pack and it's a little bit of that dynamic.
Yeah, I've also noticed that with certain friends, and there are some friends that I don't invite to group stuff, and it's not because they're an issue either. It's just because they actually, it's probably the opposite. They trigger me in group settings, and it's not because they're being mean to me. It's usually the opposite. Like, I want to, like, they bug me, so I want to, like, snap at them.
Like, you're annoying to me. Yeah. So stop.
Yeah. And like, I don't want to do that, mm-hmm, you know? So I'm like, it's probably just better if we don't interact in a group setting because I'm going to be annoyed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so interesting, like how age really does change those things for you, and like I said, just where you're
and doesn't.
That's mm-hmm. true. But where you're prioritizing time, and it's like there's these friends in my life, and by the way, some of my old friends are still like I'm very close with, and I see, and they're
shout out,
you know who you are. But there are just there's these old patterns in certain friends, and there's like this one person in particular that like I love so much, but I know if I were to bring her into a group setting, what you would watch, and you'd probably be like, Jessica, stop it. Is that I'm like a puppy dog. I go into puppy dog energy where I'm
bring
like,
bring her to the party, bring her to the group. Let me witness. Let me start something.
Where I'm just like, are you good? Are you good? Like, and just like checking in on her 24/7.
Why with her in particular? Like, and you don't have to go into details, but like, do you feel like responsible for her feelings for more than others for a specific reason?
I think it's just because of our past relationship dynamic where there was this feeling that she was just, you know, I'll use this phrase, like more alpha. And I would, and she does not give out her approval. And so catch your girl wanting to just always get that approval. Which led to me looking like a puppy dog chasing her around and like anything that needed to be adjusted. And then the affection would kind of like be given and then taken away.
Right, it
was manipulative.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out. So I know that if hopefully that was,
you know,
the dynamic,
who you are.
She probably does. But that was always the dynamic, is that it was like that manipulative give and take, and I would respond to it. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's my fault that I'm responding and I'm giving to her that.
But. Yeah, it's like a codependent kind of relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Where like one person's codependent on the attention of the other person, the other person's needs the validation.
Totally.
And it's kind of like,
totally,
that's a vicious
cycle,
dude.
You know what, sure, for my birthday I'll bring everybody together and you can witness and report back.
I'm just gonna be sitting there like
be like, stupid. No,
I was hoping it would make like one of those, like, you know, in the movies you're like
just like, huh, that's really very funny. Interesting.
That's what I was trying
very
to do. Yeah.
Interesting. No, I think in general, the people that I would bring, that I would feel comfortable bringing, it would be a fun dynamic.
Well, and it also is surprising. I mean, I think there's another thing too, where if you get enough people together, like if you do get more than 8 people, then everyone also just kind of like, you know, like kind of branches off, and then it's just kind of like a mass.
Yes. Well, that was then the conversation that you and I had when a few people left. It's like you were like, should we invite more people or just
stay? Oh, yeah. I
texted Jess. And that was the risk, because if you don't have the right group of six, a group of six people in one space for a couple days can get hectic.
I had that with
real
a
world,
bachelorette,
you know what I'm saying?
Party. Yeah, I had that with a bachelorette party one time, and honestly, all it takes is one person, and they're just saying the fucking wrong thing, and you're like, dude, and you can sense that everyone's getting annoyed by them. Oh my god.
There's also, which this is fucked up, by the way, so I'm just putting that out there, but there,
I recognize this is fucked up.
I recognize this is dark, but when there is sometimes the one person, if that person annoys everyone, then at least there's that camaraderie where like everyone is irritated by that person, and that is there. When the group splits a bit,
oh my god, that happens with I've had this happen with bachelorette parties. Are planning them is a nightmare.
Yes.
I hope that things go well for mine. I'm just gonna have like,
I think your birthday is telling that it would be good dynamic.
I hope so. I'm just gonna put two people in charge and be like, you make all the rules and you can blame it on me if so, but this is about literally just me, and so just steamroll over everyone else.
100%.
But I remember having that, wait, did I tell that? I don't know if I told this on the pod. Actually, I don't know. Okay, you don't have to cut it, but I was gonna go into details about a certain event that someone I know is going to, where the budget was astronomical initially that was proposed.
Okay.
Anyway, but like with a bachelorette party one time that I was doing for a friend, or that someone was coordinating, dude, that can just so branch off, because you can also have like the new friends versus the old friends, especially if it's a very like, what's kind of nice is I have a lot of like individual friends, but a lot of times people have like their like grade school crew who all know each other.
Yes.
And then they've got their new crew that all know each other.
Yes. That's Yes. 1000%.
Yeah. And so like what can kind of happen too is you're almost like trying to like prove your like where your standing is like with the friend, like, especially at a bachelorette you're party. Like,
I know her better because of this and this and this.
And then like, the other person, well, for real, it's like I've known her a long time. The other person's like, yeah, but I spend a lot more time with her now because we live in the same city and you don't anymore. You know,
and,
it's like,
and honestly, that's the truth of the matter. It's a little bit of a funky dynamic.
It is.
Because there's a history. But I'll say this. I have my historical friends who have known me for forever. And so, of course, there's so much.
Yeah.
But I would say my current chosen friends are my friends who know me the best now. You know what I'm saying? Because people grow and change. So I'm like, you have all the past with me.
Yeah.
But the current people that I'm spending a lot of time with, I feel more currently connected to.
Yeah.
So they win.
Yeah. I think like my different friends know me in different ways because I think I'm different, which actually that can be kind of hard in the group dynamic where I feel like I'm a different person with each of them because the kind of time we share together is different, right? Like the ways that we bond are very different. So you're like grinning. Why are you grinning?
No, it's just funny because I when we were gone for your birthday, I noticed when sometimes like, I don't know. I could just see with your different friends, like the different dynamic in the history there.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm like, when you see, I see you with your one friend and you guys kind of have that, like, there's like a ping pong back
and Taylor.
Forth. And Taylor, where it's like, that's my stomach is so loud. I don't know if you keep hearing it. It's like, that is like some serious sister.
Right.
Like knows the past.
Right.
And then when I see you with like, Reshma, like there's this, like there is this different energy of like processing things together.
And spiritual vibe.
Yes. Totally. And then like when you're with Lauren, there's like a lot of talk about like relationship and parenting.
Totally. You know? Yeah, absolutely. I feel the same way. And I was thinking about that this weekend too. It's like the ways in which we interact and also just like the topics. And like after everyone left, like Lauren stayed at my house for like literally 5 hours and we were just like processing through like, and we're both so like research and like practical driven, we're like and problem and solution oriented, and we're like, you know, how can we go about this differently, how can we change this, and totally different ways of interacting. But anyway, so what can happen with like the bachelorette party kind of thing though is when there's the two crews and you also then know
it's like the Jets coming up, just like the meeting in the middle, like.
Literally. And also what's hard is when you have two separate crews that are close with each other, then it opens up the door to talking shit, because if you have a bunch of people that kind of don't really know each other, you're probably not gonna feel comfortable enough, even if there is the one annoying person, being like you're probably not gonna be like, Lauren, like, how much has Taylor been mugging you? Like, you're not. You're just kind of like,
no. Everyone just kind of knows each other.
Right.
So everyone's tiptoeing in like an appropriate, beautiful way.
Right. Whereas when you have the two crews, then you can kind of get in like the fuck those bitches mode.
Oh, totally. It becomes like a reality TV show.
And then you have the group chat, and then you have the separate chat where you're like, oh my God. Like,
and then by accident, you send the wrong text to the wrong chat. That should be a reality TV show, is bachelorette parties. Oh, bachelor and bachelorette parties. I would live.
That would actually be like a really good show.
It's
and just
like,
one episode for
each. It's like my Sweet 16, but bachelor and bachelorette parties. And like you just watch like the debauch go down and the drama.
And like, oh my God, it is so. I was just thinking, you know how on Real Housewives, they'll be texting, they'll be like, oh my God, Sarah just said this.
Yes.
You're like talking like that. That's how it would be. And you know how it is in the group chat with bachelorette parties or something like that, where you're playing something and like, let's say you and I are in the one crew, where Jesse will be like, yeah, no, I really think going to a low key place on the second night would be better. And then I'm with you and I chime in on the group text. Yeah, I agree with that. It's a nightmare.
Oh my God.
It's a nightmare.
It would be perfect. You have a producer coming in and they can suss out like, you know, the old crew versus the new crew. And then they pull the old crew aside and be like, so is it bothering you that this?
Oh.
And just they have a couple producers intentionally causing some drama. And then every once in a while you have a beautiful episode that's just like so much fun.
You know, I've only gone to a couple bachelorette parties. Yeah, I think I've literally only been to two. But the two that I've been to, both times the bride has cried at some point in the weekend.
I'm trying to think if I cried during my bachelorette party. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I cried. Wow. Yeah, it's true. Now that I'm thinking about it, Every single one I've gone to, the bride's cried too.
Are you serious?
Yeah, every single one.
Oh my God. I'm here to break the cycle.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, dude, break the cycle. I will not cry. I refuse.
This generational bachelorette drama. Dude, that's crazy.
Now, were your brides always crying because of a negative reason, or was it sometimes a positive reason?
I mean, the one I can think of, it was where like someone said something and she literally like had to like leave the room and cried. Mm-hmm. And the other one, I think... Yeah, I think both times it was negative.
Oh God, it sucks. It's like, this is supposed to be about this person.
Why did you cry at yours?
Oh my God. I cried because, and I cried just to one person. Mm-hmm. This is so embarrassing. I came out in like my outfit for the night and I felt like I was looking really, I had got that special outfit, you know, trying to like kind of get a little slutty, get a little cute. And this is like a couple weeks before the wedding, right? Yeah. So I'm trying to feel beautiful.
Yeah.
I walked out in my outfit, everyone's getting ready, and no one complimented me. And they were all complimenting each other. And I waited. It wasn't like an immediate, it wasn't like, oh, I walked out and no one said anything. And I immediately was just like, fuck all of you.
No,
We were there for an hour. We're drinking. We're hanging out. We're getting ready to like, you know, walk to the first bar or whatever. And no one said anything about the way I looked.
And I just picture you walking in the room and you're like.
Just like. Adjusting my tits. Just like. Pulling my skirt down, and then all of a sudden I'm fully self-conscious of what I'm wearing, and I'm like, was this a horrible choice? Do I look terrible? And they're all just complimenting each other, and so I went, like, I was just trying not to cry. I was just so,
so sad.
And so then I pulled one friend aside, like, right before we left in the bathroom, and I was just like, do I look okay? And I just started bawling. And she was like, yeah, you look great. Why? I'm like, why isn't anybody saying anything, and you're all just saying nice things to each other?
I'm so dead.
And then the whole rest of the night, I was like a little bitter. And I was just like, this is so fucking annoying.
Are you still friends with the friend you pulled aside?
Yes.
You are? Yeah.
Yeah, that's my girl.
She's your girl.
That's my girl. That's my girl.
That says a lot.
And yeah, you know who you are. But like that was the person that I felt comfortable having a full emotional meltdown in front of. Because I didn't also want to then do it in front of everybody because I'm like, I then will feel then your compliments are obligatory because I'm
and
crying.
Everyone's going to go, oh, no, honey, you look beautiful.
You know, or just like, wow, this is a lot. And then like throw shade. I'm like
where everyone's just kind of like,
whether it's an obligatory compliment or you're just like, you know, kind of being rude. Either way, I'm going to be irritated. Yeah, right. So I'm like, I'll pull the one person aside. Yeah. Make sure we're doing an outfit check that I don't look ridiculous or something. Yeah. Like, does my makeup look terrible? Yeah. And then full bawling session.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what you did for your bachelorette party, but can we say if we were planning each other's bachelorette party, what we would do plan for the weekend for the other person?
Sure. Oh my gosh. Okay. I have to think for a second.
Okay. I have to think for a second too. Okay. For you, Palm Springs, obviously.
Duh.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't think I would do Palm Springs. I think I would do something somewhere you hadn't been before. That way you couldn't be disappointed in our choices.
Oh, that's a fantastic concept.
You know what I mean? Because I couldn't do Palm Springs because that's your stomping grounds.
Sure.
So then if I didn't.
That's my hometown.
Because then, you know, we could pick that's your hometown. So then if we picked a place for dinner, you know, like I know if we didn't pick the right one, in the back of your head, you'd be like, well, like the vibe's a little more.
Right. I'd be like, well, if we were at like La Serena, it would have been a little better, but it's fine.
Exactly.
This wasn't the right choice, but it's fine.
Exactly. So I think I would go a little, I think I would go out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I might do like something a little ridiculous. Like I might even do something like, I don't actually know if there's, I don't think there's a big gambling scene in like Reno, but I might do something like that. Or like somewhere where it's kind of like, a little bit corny and a little bit tacky and like gambling. Like I'd probably do a casino night where we like all get dressed up in a certain theme, like with colors. And yeah. And then probably after we'd go to like a strip club or something like that. And then like the next day I would, I'd probably try to do that and try to do very like over the top for night one. And then on day two, we'd probably do like spa pampering or something like that. Or like have someone come to the, whatever place you're staying at, Airbnb, and do like massages and maybe drinks by a pool. And then after that, in that evening, I would have it be more of like a spiritual thing where everyone like write something for you to read to you. Like about, you know, like what we hope and dream for like your future with your new spouse. And
oh my God, this is beautiful.
Yeah. And then I would have everyone, like I would do some sort of like stupid ritual thing where like everyone pick like a little bead or something, like do a little necklace for you.
Oh my gosh.
That's what I planned for you. I just made that up on the spot.
You, I mean, now what am I supposed to say? You just demolished it. It was perfect. It was perfect.
I mean, there's only like three things you can do at a bachelorette party anyway. Like you could do, you know, strippers, whatever.
Sure. But I love the idea. I'm like, I love kind of like the corny. I love kind of the divey.
Yeah.
And then getting dressed up and then going ham sandwich. Mm-hmm. But then having the relaxation after and then like the love.
Everyone can like build you up at the end.
It's fantastic. And then send me off.
Yeah.
Spread my wings.
Yes. And fly, baby.
I think if I were to plan yours, first and foremost, I would be collabing with who's ever is planning Grays and see what's the potential of a partial crossover.
That's exactly what I want.
For real?
Yeah, that is exactly what I want.
Okay, good.
Yeah, good job. No, that is what I want. Like, I don't want to do like joint bachelor bachelorette, but I do love the idea of a little crash, a little bachelor bachelorette crash.
A little crash. Like, I'm thinking, like, let's just say we're in Mexico, perhaps. Yeah. You know, they're maybe 10 minutes away at one spot. Maybe they've rented an Airbnb and we've got a little more of like a fun treehousey type resort.
Cool.
And the first night, you know, we have a separate thing where we're going out to a nice dinner and then we're like having drinks. It's not too crazy, but it's like outdoors and it's warm and there's like a beautiful view.
Yeah.
And we can just like nice like couches that we can kind of like spread out and like have like fun, deep conversations, but then also have fun and be like running around in the sand. Next day is where we cross over because we rent a boat. The bachelor party and the bachelorette party, and we come together on a boat, right?
Yes.
And then we go wild and have a great time. And then I think what's really important is to leave a flexibility moment open for after the boat where I check in with you and I'm like, Becca, do you want
to got two options.
Would you like to go now to dinner with Gray and the other boys and all of us, or
continue the party?
Or do you want to now go back? We're going to have like a nice little like sand picnic, like moonlight dinner, quiet together, and then like a nice not late night in and relaxation.
I love it.
But we'd have to definitely have a moment to lift you up.
It depends if I've had one more drink on the boat or one less.
We also, what I also feel like is necessary is there's an emergency. Do we got to have an emergency pull cord?
Yeah.
So even if you had that other drink and then we had planned to go to the dinner with the boys after, that at any moment you can look at me and go,
on the way, I've got my makeup on, I'm like,
and you gotta go now when we pull. So there's gonna be the two options available there.
I like that.
I'll do something like that. But then we would also have to have, there would have to be also a time of, you know, us letting you know
everyone
how much
writing
we
letters
love you.
For me, obviously. Yes, obviously.
Yes.
There's a reason I brought it up in my idea for yours, you know? Keep that written, keep that note written down.
Are you then wired where you're like, I want to read this in front of everyone publicly? Or do you want to have us give them to you and then you have your time alone?
No, in fact, I learned that this weekend because like I had a few friends like write me notes and I didn't open it in front of them. And I'm like, really glad I didn't, because then I just got to sit and like reread it over and over again. I don't like having to put on like a reaction for someone.
I like to take a note back. Like when it's, you know, a birthday or any sort of holiday and Evan writes me a letter, I will not read it in front of him.
Oh, no, I don't like doing that either.
And then I'm like, I'm going to start crying and he might want to see my crying reaction.
Right,
but
right.
I'm like, I want that
but
to
then
be
it's for
alone.
Me, not,
I'm not feeling the pressure to put on the tears.
I feel the same way. Also, I like your idea, too, of the boat is great. I love the drinking on the boat. And I also like I'm a day partier. I'm a day partier. Yeah. I'm not a night partier.
Yeah.
Like to have fun during the day. Like to not be hungover the next day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that idea. I'm such a control freak, though. I'm probably going to be like, I'm planning. I shouldn't do it, but I can already see myself being like, I'm planning my bachelorette.
You have to
party.
Do whatever's going to make you feel happiest. True. So if that's like, true, I'm going to plan the whole thing and then everyone else execute it, or if you want to execute it, I'm like, I think to be completely honest too, if I'd go back to my bachelorette party,
you'd plan it.
I would have planned it.
I really also like planning things, especially, yeah, if it has to do with like my family or me. Mm-hmm. Then I'm like, well, I want to call all the shots, yeah, of like what we're going
to
do.
I want to know that I'm going to have a good time. Yeah. And the best person to determine if I'm going to have a good time or not is me. Yeah. So I'm, yeah, going to figure out exactly what we're going to do.
Yeah. I'll put the maid of honor and stuff on like the following up and coordinating and calling the reservation, yes, places, and they can do all that.
Yes.
They'll be my assistants.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Like all of like the admin work goes to the maid of honor.
I like that.
And then also like controlling the bridesmaids, you know, yes, making sure that everyone is like, hey, we need to leave.
Yes.
And I, you know, let Becca be in her own room.
Yeah.
Listening to her podcast, getting,
yes,
ready.
Yes.
And not having to like, yes, you know, get all the troops together.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I like that. Okay, so back to the vomiting.
Yeah. So back to the vomiting. Can you tell the broads what exactly happened? Because I was sleeping when this was occurring.
Hear it at all.
I did not hear it at all. In fact, I slept in bed with Kendall, and I normally fall asleep to like music or, yeah, a show or anything.
Yeah.
So I was like, I didn't want to put pressure on her and be like, can we have something on?
Yeah.
So I didn't know if I was going to fall asleep quickly.
Yeah.
And I got in bed. It's like dead silent. We both get in bed at the same time. And I fully fell asleep both nights like that. Just
like
next,
a light,
yeah,
immediately.
Just in dead silence next to Kendall. And then the second night at one point, I woke up and we had started back to back. And I woke up and I turned around and I was facing Kendall. And she was on her back. And the way the moonlight was coming in, I was like, she's a princess.
I believe that 100%.
And my makeup's like dripping and my hair is everywhere. Like, I'm like sweating in my sleep, like looking at her, and I'm just like, she looks like a princess.
That is so funny. Dude, so...
So I did not hear. I even though it was dead silent in my room.
Kind of early.
The first night we did. Okay, Brods, quick interruption. Listen, ever since I had my daughter, and especially since she started going to school, I've had to grocery shop totally differently than I used to, specifically when it comes to snacks. Kids are constantly snacking, but I wanted to make sure that the snacks around the house are the most nutritious options out there while still tasting good, because if you have little ones, then you know they can be picky eaters. But since I became a Thrive Market member, snack shopping has been a breeze.
Yeah, Thrive Market's an online membership-based market on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable for everyone. And Broads, we're so excited because for all of our awesome listeners, Thrive is offering something very special, 40% off your first order and a free gift worth over $50. Okay, by the way, like right now, having like a lot of dietary restrictions, Thrive has been a godsend. They have a lot of specific stuff like sprout. Okay, for instance, sprouted almond flour.
Yes.
I was like looking for that. Could not find it at any store near my house. Like I literally could not find it anywhere. And I'm like, oh, Thrive. I know
Market.
They'll have it. They
always
have it. And also, I'm very familiar with the snack section. I'm obsessed with their super seeded crackers that are also not carried at any stores near my house. But thanks to Thrive, I've always got them on hand.
Boom. Of course, there are so many amazing deals on Thrive Market. Aside from snacks, you can get everything from organic produce to sustainable meats to pantry staples. There's pretty much nothing Thrive Market doesn't have. Okay, you can even shop by dietary values like we were talking about with Becca. You know, keto, gluten-free, 90 other values and lifestyles. It's healthy living done easily.
Can your grocery store do that? Probably not. But mm-mm, you can have it all when you go to thrivemarket.com/chatty. Join today to get 40% off your first order and a free gift worth over $50. That's thrivemarket.com/chatty to get 40% off your first order and a free gift worth over $50. That's thrivemarket.com/chatty.
So there are approximately 1 million different skincare products marketed or made for women's skin. Truly, I could spend hours trying to figure out what type of cleanser I need because there are just so many options, so many. But when it comes to the men's skincare department and personal hygiene products, the options are not quite as voluminous. There's one company doing the men's care products really, really well, and that is Hawthorne.
Hawthorne's a premium grooming brand that's designed to create personal care routines for men that fit their unique lifestyles. They focus on skin products and hair products that work to address men's specific needs and scents that they can wear daily. So to get started, your guy or you will take Hawthorne's quiz, which will help the team learn about exactly who the products are for so they can formulate the best blends. And they're going to ask you questions such as, tell us about your skin. How long do you have to spend time on self-care in the morning? And questions like, how is your ideal day spent?
Once the quiz is done, you'll get to view the customized sets full of products tailored to your man's skin and hair needs. I had Evan take this quiz and maybe almost a year ago now, and he's been using his custom set ever since. He loves it. Of all men's grooming products he's ever used, the Hawthorne set is the thing he's constantly reaching for.
Take Hawthorne's quiz today and get the men in your life started on their new routine by going to hawthorne.co/gift and using promo code chatty to get 10% off your first purchase. That's hawthorne.co/gift. Promo code chatty. Hawthorne.co/gift. Promo code chatty.
Well, no. The first night, you were having a conversation with two of your older friends in the tub. And then three of us were in the living room. We were talking actually fairly late. Yeah. And I think we ended up going to bed like right before you guys came in.
Okay.
The second night, the vomiting night, I think we all kind of went to bed at the same time.
So Taylor and I were up, and this is like my oldest friend.
Yeah.
We're up and like,
I could hear you guys laughing at first, which actually helped me fall asleep. I was like, joy.
And me fall asleep. We were just like cracking up about something. Like, she is the friend we will just like look at each other and just like die laughing, which is so fun. But like, she had said something like, we were making plans for the next morning, like, how are you gonna get back? And they were like serious plans. Like, she just said something where she was like, she's like, yeah. And we're like planning out the time. She's like, she's like, yeah, we've got to get back to the border. And something about the way she said it, like so urgent, like, we've got to get back to the border. Like, I just died laughing. And I was, anyway, so we were just crying, just cracking up, laughing with each other. And then I shit you not, it was like immediately after laughing, all of a sudden it was like over my body. And I was like, dude, am I like about to have like a panic attack? Like, and I think that anxiety and nausea are complete. Well, they are, because when I get really anxious, I get really, really nauseous.
Yes, yes.
And I'll start panicking that I'm going to throw up. Mm-hmm. But so what happened here is like actual nausea hit me and I confused it with anxiety. And so it was like literally we stopped laughing and I like rolled over for a second. I was like, whoa, like, okay, like, I'm about to have, like, a panic attack.
Which is the worst, especially, like, you're in the middle of, like, a good time, and then you just get hit with puke.
Yeah, and this is not my, we're a little similar, and she's even more so than me. This is not, like, my emotional friend, so I'm not going to be, like, I could say she'd just be, like, they're there, you know, like, it's not, yeah.
And she's not gonna braid your hair while you're puking.
No, exactly. And or even like, yeah, the anxiety or anything. So I was just kind of like, I'm just like, whoa, like, am I? And also, I don't like telling people when I'm about to have an anxiety attack, because I'm just like, what the hell are they gonna do? They're gonna be like, are you okay? It's just gonna make it better, worse.
I'm just
kind of like, plus we're about to go to sleep, so I'm like, what's going on, you know, like, all right. Just kind of trying to breathe. And also, I'm confused because on the eve of my actual birthday,
as you would recall,
2 weeks before at midnight, as you will recall, I spent like an hour puking. So in my head, I'm also like, dude. And by the way, like, we had not been drinking to the point of tipsiness for hours and hours.
No.
I didn't even have a glass of wine when we got home. Like, and we went in the hot tub.
It had been hours. Like, also, like, the amount we were drinking was not like drunk.
During the day, I was definitely a little drunk at the winery.
I guess I can handle like, too much.
I'm good, girl. I'm good. So, yeah, no. Anyway, so I had been drinking, and I was just like, dude, there's no way. Like, there's no way that, like, I've got, like, a stomach bug or something again in 2 weeks.
And then the fact that it's the eve of the ending of your birthday.
That was kind of odd. My birthday weekend. Only 2 weeks later. Yeah. And so I was just kind of like, this must be an anxiety attack because there's no way this is all going to happen again. And then I was like, I sort of like felt a wave and I was just like, no, like I've got to go to the bathroom right now. And it was pretty, I was pretty fucking anxious because I was just like, dude, what is going on? It was, we had a little intense me and God moment in there, you know, where you're just like, oh, I'm the...
And you said it was for hours.
Dude, so well, the worst part was definitely like the first hour because I threw up. And then I went back to the bed and then I instantly was like dizzy and had to vomit again and like go back to the bathroom.
That's terrible.
And then I tried to like chill in the bathroom. But then, of course, like when you sit on the floor and chill in the bathroom for whatever reason, I wasn't throwing up again. So then finally I'm going to get up and go back to bed. And then I lay down and then immediately yeah, and then I'm you're going like, back.
So then you might as well just be sleeping on the bathroom floor.
And I was going to do that. But then I was just like, not on this Airbnb bath mat. And like, no. So I was just going back and forth between the bed and there were times where I was literally like sprinting to the toilet, oh, no. Like sprinting, just yakking up my entire meal, which we all had salmon, like four of us.
I know
had salmon.
We all pretty much had the same thing. So I don't know what it was. I kept going back to your candida, like the fact that there was a lot of sugar in the wine and like your body was like, oh, hell no.
I'll tell you this. So I've been on the candida diet, you guys. So I haven't really been drinking. I haven't been drinking at all and haven't been doing any sugar, dude. And I haven't had a yeast infection in a month. Sunday morning, I'm not joking. No. I woke up feeling itchy.
A raging yeasty.
I woke up on Sunday morning, which is like we drank wine Friday night, Saturday. Woke up Sunday morning feeling like a little off. And then, yeah, Monday, it was just like worst. And still today, like on Wednesday, like worst yeast infection ever.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, I will not be drinking wine.
I mean, clearly that goes to show that what's happening
is working. I know. That was good, but
then I woke up and you're like I've been puking, did you hear me? I'm like, what? Like, I thought we all went to bed around
tell
the
everyone.
Same
yeah
well yeah what are you not gonna tell everybody?
Just Lauren, be like, knew it was
all,
me.
We're all good. Like, I didn't know everything. The last night was fine.
It was great.
Not that you were puking for hours.
Lauren said she knew it was me through the wall. Like, she could hear me.
The way you vomited was the sound of you.
I guess.
You're like, you know me so well.
She was like, oh, who's puking? Then she's like, well, it sounds like Becca. Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
I know.
Like, do you?
You'd be like, I don't know.
But like, now I'm like, I want to know what I sound
right?
like.
Right? I know, me too. But it was violent. It was rough.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
And
but
then you woke up the next day and you were tired.
I think it must have been like the norovirus. People were saying that norovirus is going around, which is, I guess, the proper name for the stomach flu.
Oh, really?
So maybe I just got it like twice in 2 weeks. Because also with food poisoning, you're usually like, you know, peeing out your butt.
But then none of us got it. We're all good.
I know, but.
And no one from your family. And it was just that moment.
I know.
Strange. I'm telling you, I keep getting hit with Santa Clarita diet. Just like, what being are you turning into? It's just like every 2 weeks, you're just like.
And I wondered at some point, is this divine intervention to get me over my throwing up phobia?
God's just like, you're going to figure it out, girl. And I'm going to hold your hair through it. And you're going to be puking all night long. You know what I'm going to do? You're going to be feeling great all day. And then right at the heat of a laughing attack with your friend, I'm going to be like, boom.
Boom.
Or like the
at an Airbnb
of your birthday,
in another
boom.
Country.
Yeah.
You know what my biggest anxiety is? So don't do this one, God. My biggest anxiety, it always has been, is like, oh, dude. Okay. Another tangent. We were talking about this in the car because Reshma was talking about like she's dating right now and how she gets anxiety with dating. And I was realizing like I am the same. We're talking about existential crises. I get existential crises when I'm dating and I like when I'm on a date.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
While you're sitting there? Like,
yes.
And what does this look like?
Okay.
What type of crisis is this?
Okay. Like anxiety attack / like what am I doing in the world in my life? Like,
really?
It has in the moment. Yes. Like,
okay.
I can remember one intense, it's happened so many times. Like, probably since I was. Like in junior high, like I remember being a freshman and being at Hume winter camp and being at the ice skating rink and a boy that I liked like held my hand while we were going around the ice rink. And I was just like, you know, like dissociating, like leaving my body.
You're
just
like,
being like,
I always cry during every day.
Like I was just like panic. And I remember going to the bathroom being like, I'm going to throw up. Like I'm going to shit myself. Like just like boom, like just smack me. It smacks me in my face.
Did you get this with Gray?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
like at one point or another.
It just, you get over it eventually?
Yeah, eventually, like I guess. But yeah, I remember one time in Costa Rica where like I had met this really cute guy at the river. I think it's like I'm getting so caught up in the moment with someone. Like I met this guy at the river. We decided to like go out to dinner together and like I was going to go on his motorcycle. It really was. Like hopped on the back of his motorcycle. We were going to go to his, like he lived in another city and we were just going to ride. Actually, that is a crazy story. But anyway, so we ended up going to dinner and we're like getting pizza. And it was like literally like the piece of pizza was in front of me. He's sitting across me with the pizza. And all of a sudden I was just like, boom. It was just like that slap in the face. All of a sudden, like, yeah, dissociation and like, panic.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is fascinating to me. Yeah. I can get that. Or I can relate to that personally. Sure. At some point, like maybe after dating someone for a couple months. And if I like all of a sudden being like, is this the person? Like, should I stay in this relationship? And then I'm panicking.
Sure, no, I get that too.
But during an actual date,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, during a date is when I reach my peak level of narcissism.
I think like, I think I do get caught up. But it's almost because I'm like so in the moment that all of a sudden I'll just be like, right. Yeah, I just get like bitch slapped. You're by like an, like, existential anxiety crisis. Wow. Yeah. And so I don't know what made me think about that, but yeah.
I reach peak level of narcissism, Becca, on a date.
You're just like, I am a god.
I question myself constantly.
Yeah.
I don't feel all the good things constantly, yeah. Right? You know, I kind of live in that space. And when I am on like a first date, I have this disassociation moment where I'm like, you are crushing this.
I think I get that too.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I think I get it. Where I'm just like, I'm funny. I'm quick. I'm like, boom, boom, boom.
I have
boom,
these
boom.
Narcissism moments. And I think it's because I don't care about the person yet because it's like a first date where I'm just like, you are fascinating.
Yeah.
This is the best first date they've ever had. Yeah. Like the narcissism through the roof.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Okay. So why was that connecting for you?
Oh, because I was saying my biggest fear is like throwing up on a date with someone, like a newer date.
Oh no.
Was that on this pod? Who brought that up when they were puking?
Yes. You shared that.
I shared
the podcast.
That about like how someone said,
on a date, they were taking breaks and throwing up.
I need to know. I have a good memory. I have no idea who was telling me this.
Everyone,
but
let us know immediately.
Unbelievable.
If you said this to Becca, slide into her DMs.
Please.
Because that's the wildest thing I've ever heard.
I
wonder what hypnotism would look like for you involving
vomiting.
Have you ever been hypnotized before? Are you open to hypnotism?
Sure.
Should we get you hypnotized on this podcast for vomiting?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard positive things.
I mean, it's getting better. Like I said, I've had to go through it twice this month.
Right. But if you've gotten to like a hypnotism place where like you can almost like meditate when you're about to puke, maybe it could help stop it. Or
no,
maybe
that's worse. I want to puke. When I feel nauseous, there becomes a moment where you know you will vomit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, please, God,
you
just make me vomit. Please. Yes. But that line, that thin line between this might pass and I'm going to vomit, that's a scary place.
I think we try getting you hypnotized, see what happens. Or see if that's a common thing that hypnotists deal with, is like the fear of vomiting.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm so curious. I've been hypnotized one time, but not for anything like that I'm trying to work on. Just like a public hypnotism at a fair in front of a ton of people and I act like an idiot. But it worked.
That's how my great-grandma, she used to be like the person in the audience getting hypnotized like while someone on stage. Like she was like so sensitive to it. So she said that she would like get hypnotized.
Listen, all I know is the one time that I did it, it worked completely on me to the point that I was
concerned.
Like on stage in front of 1,000 people acting like an absolute idiot. And my crush was like in the audience. So like, I know I would have
not been.
I was fully taken over.
Whoa.
Fully. I was pretending I was like a rock god, like just jamming on an electric guitar. Just like, I mean, like disgustingly embarrassing in front of so many people.
Oh my God.
So embarrassing.
Yeah. I know some people like don't, like, I would love for it to work because mm-hmm. I want to believe in something.
I need to believe in a higher power.
Please hypnotize me. But yeah, so like, I think one of my biggest fears, I think because it's so, I was like working through this with my therapist because I think, because I have my fear of being drugged too. And I think like also being drugged and being like, and vomiting is like sort of like similar for yes. me, where it's like very vulnerable and I'm very scared of it being in public where people can like witness me. And I don't like that. Mm-hmm. Like it's like mm-hmm. a very specific type of vulnerability mm-hmm. and like being seen in a certain way that is really uncomfortable. So I'm super scared of like being on a date and all of a sudden like having to vomit. And
if that was the case, do you think you would just dip?
I mean, I think I would probably just say like, I cannot believe this, but like, I think I like ate something or have the stomach flu. Like I just threw up and I feel horrible. I mean, it would be fine. I know in my head, but it's just like this thought of like ruining like a good moment and just.
No, yeah. I agree. It is so vulnerable though.
Yeah.
I had a friend recently, her and I went and grabbed dinner together and it was like a delicious dinner. And all of a sudden halfway through the dinner, she was like, I don't feel really good. Like, I don't know what's going on. And then we get in the Uber and we were going to go to get another drink afterwards. And she has to roll the window down and is puking out the Uber.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Out of nowhere. Completely out of nowhere.
I mean, that's basically what happened to me the other night.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, and this is someone who I love deeply. And it was like, this is vulnerable. Like, it felt like very vulnerable. Yeah, it's like, we're in here. There's the Uber driver. Like, I'm holding her hair. She's puking, you know. And it's also vulnerable because...
Did he pull over?
He did. Oh, okay. But he was on the freeway when it started.
Holy shit. Oh, dude.
It was bad. That would be peak panic for me. It was bad. But even in all that, like knowing,
because that's also the fear, right? You're like, where am I going to get, make it on time? Where do I throw up?
Yeah, it's, you know, the panic, like, to find exactly where like the appropriate place to puke is, which there really is only two, into a bag, I guess, and yeah. then into the toilet.
On but a tree.
It's also, there's also this vulnerable feeling of like, especially like, I don't know, I would think a date or at nighttime. I know my friend was feeling like this, I'm not drunk. Like, I'm not puking because of alcohol. I just got nauseous. I don't know what else to tell you. And that feels kind of vulnerable too. Like, you're trying to, it's like when you fall, when you're wearing heels and it's like 9 p.m. and you're walking out of a restaurant and you fully eat it and you're like, I'm not drunk. I'm not drunk.
Yeah,
like, I just truly fell.
I think, I don't think I'm like actually nervous about the throwing up part. I think it is all the in between choices that like you have to make, because also like there's a point like with Taylor, like I was like, and this is like my best friend for years, but it's like you also like don't want to you're like sort of questioning like, do I say that I'm like feeling kind of nauseous, like, again, like, is this gonna pass?
Yeah,
like, do I say I'm gonna feel like I'm gonna throw up? Because then the people around you are like, whoa, is everything good? Mm-hmm. So then you're sort of like probably waiting a little too long to say anything. And then when you've waited too long to say something, then you say, I feel like I have to throw up. And then like within 2 minutes, you're throwing up. So it's like, it's very like awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess you could verbalize like, I'm feeling kind of nauseous. I'm like debating whether or not like it's actually any, I mean, I guess you could say all that, but there's just a lot of those choices.
I think a lot of the time I don't say, which by the way, this doesn't happen too often, but when I have felt that way, I don't say anything until literally the last minute because I'm hoping it'll go away. That's always my biggest thing.
And of course, sometimes, and also what's confusing is sometimes you get waves of nausea
and
then
nowhere,
they just pass
and
then
gone.
You're just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine like this is not a common thing. We're like, yeah, you get waves of nausea all the time. And everyone's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
That's not good. But I get it all the time.
I get it all the time. But yeah, sometimes it's like anxiety, ate something a little weird. Like, you know, there's like a number of reasons. Sometimes you just have a weird.
Yeah. I think mine's often connected with anxiety. Like all of a sudden I'll just get like a rolling wave of anxiety and nausea out of nowhere. And I'm like, oh God, here we go. But it'll just be quick. But I normally am not.
Yeah,
I'm not puking to fruition as you are.
Dude, one time I was in an Uber and it was at like 6 p.m. the day after drinking. I had not thrown up all day. We had gone to brunch in the morning. Mm-hmm. Like, we had hung out, watched a movie, mm-hmm. and I was going home in the Uber. Mm-hmm. And actually, this does still, after I got pregnant, or when I got pregnant and after, it was really bad. Like, if I look, I used to be able to read in the car as like a child. Like, I would read novels and as we were driving through the mountains.
When does that change? How come when you're a kid, you can just read all the things and then all of a sudden you get a little older and you're like, I am immediately car sick if I'm not sitting in the front looking straight ahead.
Okay, so what I've heard is like, you know how like balance and dizziness has to do with like your eardrums? Uh-huh. Like, apparently that changes as you get older. That's why when you're also like 5, you can go in a spinny office chair around and around and around like 70 million times.
Oh my gosh, the best memories.
The best.
The best memories.
And you're fine. Mm-hmm. And now if you like stand up too soon, you're like, mm-hmm. or go on a swing, you know?
Yeah, so, all those wild fair rides that you used to be able to do when you were a kid.
Just I was like, always scared of going on the really spinny one.
I would always do that. And you'd be completely fine. I remember like my dad being like, oh, I feel so sick. And I just never connected with it. And now after a day at Disneyland with Ember, I'm like, okay, I understand why the parents used to feel a little woozy. I'm feeling a little funky after a full day of rides.
I used to get that as a kid, actually. I would get like a like a Six Flags hangover where I would literally be like in bed. Like,
think about what it is. We're literally, when you go to Six Flags, you're like a 10-year-old getting thrown around. You're getting hung upside down, loops that are 100 feet high for like minutes.
Our bodies are not meant to move that fast.
No, your bodies are not meant to get jerked around in the sky.
Catapulted.
For hours on end.
In your neck, then, your alignment.
And then also your adrenaline too is just spiking like every like 20 minutes on a ride, just like about to go down, you know, Goliath, like a 200-foot drop.
Holy
imagine
shit.
What that's doing to your
damn,
10,
I want to go to Six Flags.
To your 10-year-old body. I know it sounds
for
great.
Real. For real. Yeah, but so that's why I think you can't read in the car or like do that stuff. But now, dude, it's even like if I'll look down at my phone in the passenger seat for like maps, I'm like, well, I look back up and I'm like, holy poop, mm-hmm. I am nauseous. So I was on my phone, like on the way home in the Uber in the passenger seat.
Oh, no.
Which, by the way, I used to always sit in the front passenger seat in the Uber. Did you used to do that? Did you always just get in the back?
I absolutely did not do that.
I used to always do that. I'd just be like, I'll just sit like shotgun.
No way. I mean, listen, but you're also like, you're like, let's chat. I'm going to sit in the front. I'm like, I'm going in the back. I'm putting my headphones in. I'm going to try to sleep or something.
I do that now, but like I used to just be like, and I'd just like go sit. I'd
How
just
was
sit
the
up
reaction to the from the driver most of the time?
I don't remember. This was years ago. But
you're
like,
just not paying attention every time you hop in an Uber. And right I wouldn't next to the even, driver, they're like.
Yeah, I feel like that did used to happen, actually, where they'd be like, you know, like, and they wouldn't say anything. Like, why are you sitting here? That's rude. But, you know, but they'd just kind of be like.
I'm like, oh, okay.
I'd be like, hi.
Like, and I would imagine it would feel nice to, like, some people would like it, where it's like, oh, yeah, you're sitting up front with me. Like,
I would
know.
Feel violated for sure if I was an Uber driver and someone just hopped in a cab next to me.
I would be a little bit like, is there any way you could please sit in the back?
No, I used to just, like, hop in and just be like, hey.
Hey, what's going on? You're, like, chewing gum.
Yeah. I'm not even talking to them, just, like, on my phone. So, yeah, I was sitting in the passenger seat, sitting shotgun. And then, dude, we're actually so close to here, in my old apartment in Lincoln Heights, and we're like driving down Broadway, and we are, I shit you not, like less than a mile away from the house. This has been like a 30-minute drive mm-hmm. from like Hollywood. And I'm like, no.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, could you pull over? And this person doesn't really speak English very well.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I'm like, could you pull over? You know, he's like, what? Like, doesn't understand. I'm like, hey, can you pull the car over? You know, I'm like panicking.
You're dripping cold
can
sweat
Can you pull
everywhere?
The car over? And it hits so fast. And like, as he's pulling the car over, I go like,
oh, no. In your hands?
In my hands, like trying to keep my mouth closed so I don't throw up in his car. So then, like, I guess I, like, sort of open the car door, like, with one hand as I'm coming. And so then I'm continuing to throw up, just being like, and I just kind of, like, release my hands, you know, kind of trying to, like, yeah, like, and then I'm throwing up in like a plant on the sidewalk, and it's like 6 p.m. You know, like people are out just, you know, living their life on a Saturday.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that. The fact that it's still like a
and it
little
was like
sunny.
In July. Yeah, exactly. Like the sun's out. It's like people are probably walking there.
They're like, wow,
their
this girl rages. Like, dude, she rages.
And I'm just throwing up in the bush, like on the sidewalk, you know, like with the Uber. And then I'm like, do you have a napkin? Like, so sad.
That's. Well, okay. See, if you've had experiences like
I've
this,
had so many.
I would be so scared of throwing
up. I threw
up,
on the
too.
Plane when I was pregnant with Ruth. I was like 16. I did not get. Sorry for the vomit tangents here. I only threw up like literally like once every 4 weeks. So I threw up once when I was 6 weeks pregnant, once when I was like 10 weeks pregnant, and then when I was like 14 weeks pregnant. I
on the plane.
So the again it. I was kind of nauseous the whole plane ride, and I was just like taking tiny sips of tea and like eating tiny bits of like a baguette or something, a croissant, whatever. And the plane lands, like it is seatbelts off. We are exiting, we are deplaning. I'm like in row 12 waiting to deplane.
So just like the weirdest time to throw up. Like literally, like there's no weirder time, because even if you throw up when before the plane takes off, there's a little
then
bit
like you're
maybe they're really scared. Maybe they're really scared of flying, so they're puking.
And I also don't look pregnant, you know, so it's like
right. So yeah, there's not that association with it too. It's like maybe okay,
and it was like you know, 1 p.m. like on a Tuesday
landed, and you're exiting.
We are walking off the plane, and which then provides another problem where I'm like, I'm gonna throw up, and I am literally pushing people out of my way, trying to get to the bathroom, like scrambling over people's bags because they are standing.
Yeah,
in
and
line.
Then people are like, fuck you. Yeah, like you're trying like, to cut.
I'm sorry.
And you're
I'm
just
sorry.
Like,
no, I'm going to the back of the plane. So I'm just like, move. And it was just like, yeah, I made it. But
and
barely.
You, but you made, that is that's like the time. That's the timing of that puking would be like forcing security to be like, we're gonna have to escort you off this plane. We're not sure what's going on with this individual. She's pushing through people and she's puking after the plane's landed at 1 p.m. We're gonna have to remove you. We're not sure what's going on, but
there's
something
wrong. There's
yeah.
something
so
off
we're gonna
here.
Have to take you off this plane.
That was gnarly. Anyway.
Well, before we wrap, I have to ask you this. Yeah. And I was thinking about this when we were away for your birthday, because Kendall, Kendall from
The Bachelor,
fame was with us, and she's a twin.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, like, would you want to be a twin? Would you want to have an identical twin?
No. Okay. Yes, no.
Give me your reasons.
I think yes, because I think it's a really special bond. Like, and you have like, it is like a built-in best friend, you know, like that person was literally with you in the womb. Like they get you. I think there's like the weird kind of telepathy and kind of just like, you know, understanding each other. And like, I think that's for life. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really cool. But because he doesn't want like a, you know, like a someone who's going to get you in a certain way. Especially like even identical, like people are probably going to treat you the same and you could like understand each other in that
way.
That's
very true. It's a very unique perspective.
Yeah. So I think that that's special. Like I'm sure anyone who's a twin probably wouldn't change it because, and I can't imagine what it would be like when your twin dies and like you, I mean, that just must feel like a part of you is just gone. How sad. Anyway, but no, because you're always going to be getting compared to them. You share a birthday and like just, I don't know, dating and all that stuff. I think it would be really hard not to get into your head.
Okay. I felt the exact same way. I'm like, there's this part of me. And I'm like, the idea of someone looking exactly like me enrages me.
Infuriating, intolerable.
100% infuriating. Like, don't even consider looking exactly like me. And then if they'd want to match all the time, if that was what my twin was like, I'd be like, get out of here. Like, I need my own style. Yeah. Leave me be. And then the dating piece, it'd be like, do you even love me or do you love my twin? Like,
also, like, imagine if, like, I always think this, like, what if someone's not into you but they're into your twin? So then you're like, oh, so like their personality is better.
Oh, a whole different painful level I truly wasn't even thinking of. Like, I truly hadn't even wrapped my brain around that. Now, yes, another thing to worry about. Like, oh, now I'm insecure about who I am as an individual. Uh-huh. But then when we were gone, like, Kendall and her twin were talking constantly. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, you guys, you have a best friend always. So there's that piece. I saw a meme the other day.
Yeah, because you also don't have a sibling that's close in age.
I guess you also have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I saw a meme the other day. It's like a meme of Michael Scott crying on a swing set, you know, that office photo. And it said when something about like when my one best friend is busy or when my one friend is busy and I want to go out and he's just sobbing.
I think I saw that one like about twins where it was like 9-year old me, like when I like wishing that I had an identical twin or like something like that.
Yeah, this one was when I want to go out and my one friend is busy.
Oh, yeah.
And I was relating to that where I'm like, I have like currently a couple close friends.
Yeah. And friends you do things with.
Right.
Like me and you don't do things together.
Right. Well, it's like you're an hour away from me, right? Yeah. So then it's kind of like, okay, like when all of a sudden you're having a night where you're like, I kind of want to go and get a drink, but I can't do it with the person I haven't seen in a long time because then we have to have this full catch up and I kind of just want to gel.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if they're too far away, they can't do it last minute. So I'm like, I only have like a couple, you know, like one or two friends that I can hit up if I'm feeling it. And I've had those moments where I'm like, I call the two and you're like, they both are busy and you're just like
swinging your legs.
Yeah, just like, well, okay, I guess I'm just going to be alone. And then if you had your twin. If you had your twin, you always have someone. So I always see Kendall posting and she's going to all her events and her twin is always there. I'm like, you have this person who's always locked in.
I wonder how often like identical twins get annoyed with each other. Like I almost feel like they get in less tiffs than like normal siblings. But maybe that's a misconception.
Yeah, I feel like I don't interact with tons of identical twins on a regular basis, but I knew enough growing up where I felt like they were never really fighting.
Now my cousins are twins, but they're fraternal boy girl.
Okay.
But they're like
that's a little different too. But identical?
I
never see them arguing. They have the same brain. And they never fight and they only support each other. Like the only time I've seen identical twins mad is when they're standing up for each other against someone else.
Uniting forces. Front. Yeah, it's a little creepy, isn't it?
Anywho.
Well, what a range of topics on this one. Friends, vomiting twins.
I mean, mostly your B-Day, which was so wonderful. And aww, I love you. And I had such a wonderful time.
Me too. Can't wait for September.
I know. You know, what can I say?
October. When's your birthday?
It's October. But I'm
Libra months. I'm just like September/October.
Libra. Again, I'm going to do something.
It's October
crazy.
13th.
Yes, it is. Friday the 13th. But broads, we love y'all and I hope that you get some good sleep tonight.
Dude, me too.
And you know,
I do on Wednesdays, actually. That's the thing. I'm tired on Wednesdays. Then Gray records Chatty Bros and he's gone.
And then you can sleep.
The kids go to bed at 7:15 and then there's like, you know, like lute
a
music
zen
playing
moment.
Like doo, 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 and I'm like out by 8:45.
A zen moment.
So I usually
indeed.
Do get my sleep Wednesday nights.
Ugh. Well, get your sleep. I'm gonna try to sleep regardless of the mania. Weed, that helps. Anywho, we love you, bros.
That's soon.